Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Welcome back. I'm Hope, and this is my husband John with me.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Wasn't sure what I was going to say there, so.
I'm glad you figured it out.
Yeah, good yeah. Job. I thought maybe I had something else, but I didn't.
So I was thinking this week about inheritance. I don't know if that's something that you've thought about at all in the past or not.
Maybe a little. What I'm thinking about right now is how we live in Florida and it's cold outside.
Yes, it is. It is chilly, but I am very much enjoying it.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. It does get a little chilly, though.
Yes, yes. I know you just put on your sweatshirt, so I knew that you were feeling it.
I did. I was feeling it a little bit.
Yeah.
So inheritance. So have I ever thought about that? Was that the question?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be nice to get one.
Yes. Wouldn't it be?
That would be nice. It would.
Yes. Just like a, you know, kind of undeserved, just fortune, you know.
Unfortunately, unless I have a long lost relative I'm unaware of, there's not anything on the horizon.
Some prince somewhere that...
Well, I do get those emails about the prince in some foreign African country that, you know, if I send him my credit card number, he's going to be able to send me money or something. I don't know.
Yeah, just put it right on your credit card.
How's that scam work? I don't know.
Yeah, you have to give your social security number too, I think.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, all of your money's gone. It's amazing how that works.
They were actually asking you for inheritance, not offering
it. So you're helping to fund the prince, not actually take the prince's money.
I guess.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I mean, Hope, if you thought you married into a family where there was something coming, sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. But yeah, I mean, sometimes when we see it in movies and such, when they talk about inheritance, and it's usually some person that has lots and lots of money, and typically the way the story goes is that, you know, they get read the will and these people find out that they get different parts of the inheritance or not. And it typically creates
drama.
Problems. Yes.
Yes. There's always a big fight.
Yeah.
There's always somebody who thought they deserved it. And somebody, the one who gets it, isn't the one that they thought deserved it. And it turns into a big to do.
And, you know, to make the movie even better, it's usually the person who is irresponsible or something like that, that gets the majority of it or something like that.
And depending on the movie, sometimes you get to the end and they don't even have the money. So
that's true.
Like they got it, but that was it.
Yeah.
Because they were irresponsible.
Right. They just threw it out the window.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have a little bit of a conversation about inheritance personally. I was a young teen, probably 12 or 13, when my dad's dad had passed. And he did have some, and so each one of us kids got some from him. I think it might have been something like $7,000 or something like that. But I don't know that I would have gotten it immediately. I don't know. I didn't ask very many questions. I didn't really think a whole lot of it. I mean, it was something I'd never had, you know, so I never really thought about it. So, which is always, it's funny about inheritance when it comes to that. It's like you're being given something that you didn't necessarily earn or anything else, but yet people feel like they have the right to fight over it. But
right. Like it was mine. It was mine.
Right. Exactly.
No, it wasn't yours. It was someone else's and they're just giving it to you.
Exactly.
For no apparent reason.
Exactly. So no matter what you think you did to earn it, you know, it's free to you pretty much.
Right.
Besides taxes, I'm sure. But
true. The government gets their part.
Right. So I guess I was going to have that coming to me. And then shortly after that, my dad had asked, hey, we need to do some improvements on the house. And that's where that money went. And
well, that was nice of you.
Yeah.
You were participating in home improvements.
I was. I don't know if it was ever the intention for me to get it back or anything. But
yeah, I'm trying to think about how we can get our kids to participate in home improvements. I don't, it's not going to work, is it?
I don't know. I'm just happy if they clean up around the house and help out with stuff. So
we could just use some new carpet up here. So
that's true. You know. That's very true. One day.
Yeah, one day.
One day.
Maybe when we get our inheritance.
Yes.
Probably
yes.
not.
But yeah, I mean, I never really got upset over it because, you know, easy come, easy go. Yeah. I didn't really, you know, it was kind of here nor there. And so that was pretty much my only experience of it. I do know that my dad used to tell the story about his dad. And I think he had a sister and a brother. So it was my grandfather and my grandfather's brother and sister, I think. And their mother had been staying with my grandfather in his house. She was very sick. She had a hospital bed. And she had passed. And they, I guess the siblings, my grandfather's siblings, the way that my dad told the story, I don't know. I wasn't there. But evidently they were immediately going to the valuables.
Mm.
And unfortunately, it created such an angst amongst them that my grandfather never talked to them again.
Oh, man.
And so, like, that's a huge part of the family that I've never met. I never, just because of that. So it's kind of really sad. It wasn't even necessarily a specific inheritance. I guess you can consider that. But it was sad that, you know, just some material things
right.
broke up the family like that. It probably wasn't the only thing, but, you know, it right. definitely didn't help. But, you know, life goes on and we try to learn from all those things to not let those material things get such a hold of us where we're damaging relationships over it.
That's right.
But there is a story that I thought about inheritance in the Bible that Jesus tells about the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
And the prodigal son who wanted to enjoy his inheritance now, because typically it happens after the person has passed away.
Sure.
And they divvy it up. And I guess it was him and his brother who was going to get the inheritance. And he's like, well, I want it now. I want to have fun with it now. And so I just thought about that. You know,
yeah.
Most of our listeners would probably know that story, but that he kind of, you know, squandered it away and then came back on his hands and knees to his father and said, I'm horrible and, you know, I'll eat slop with the pigs, just, you know, whatever. And
maybe I should call my parents and see if, you know, hey, I want my inheritance now. They'd probably send me a bill.
Yeah, bill. Well, it might be a bill or it might be a, here's a Wendy's Frosty card.
Ooh, there we go. Frosties every day.
I don't even know if they even do that, but so I was thinking about that this week about inheritance. And did you know that once we choose to live for Jesus, that we are then adopted into God's family?
Mm-hmm.
And the original children of God were the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And that all started with God giving a promise to Abraham to have many nations.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And lo and behold, after generations, it, you know, the Israelites got really big. And they were considered, you know, God's children. Mm-hmm. They were his people. Mm-hmm. They were his chosen people. And they always knew that God had promises for them and had special things set aside for them because they were his people, his family. However, in the New Testament, there's a shift that comes. And it's introduced that, you know, maybe other people can be a part of God's family too, not just the Israelites. One of the first people to kind of introduce this to the religious people, which I'm sure they really did not find exciting and were very upset about it, especially because when John the Baptist is addressing them in this particular section, he calls them a brood of vipers, which, you know,
a term of endearment.
It is not, but I really appreciate John the Baptist.
Yeah.
I mean, I can really relate with him.
I would concur. You can relate with him.
He is so straightforward.
Yeah.
I try really hard to not be that straightforward, but it is a part of my personality.
Sure.
So I embrace it, but he very much is straightforward, and I really appreciate that. And he really didn't care what people thought. You know, I'm going to eat my locust and have my honey and wear whatever I want, you know? And so anyways, so in Matthew 3:9, he says, "And do you think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father? For I say to you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones." So they were thinking that they were very entitled. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, as long as they obeyed their laws, mostly what people could see, that they were good. They were good to go. They're going to get everything that they deserve from God. Mm-hmm. All of the inheritance of what God had for them. And John was there to tell him what's up. Mm-hmm. He's like, don't even think about it, because, you know, if God wanted to, he could raise up these stones right here to be Abraham's children. So just because you might be in the bloodline doesn't mean that you are in line to get the inheritance of what God has. Mm-hmm. So the good news is they definitely could if they chose the right way, because Jesus did die for us.
Yeah.
For us to be able to come to become a part of God's family. So as God followers, as Jesus followers, we are adopted into his family. Mm-hmm. And we get to benefit from his inheritance. Mm. And, you know, many times people think that it's just, you know, not just, that sounds very minimal, that it's all about spending eternity with him, which, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
About the inheritance. I mean, that's absolutely amazing and fantastic and all that we want, but we don't need to wait until then.
Sure.
To experience his inheritance. So typically people die. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. The inheritance happens when you die, or when the person dies, and then the other people benefit from the inheritance. And when I was thinking about this and the inheritance that we have that we can experience now from God, I was like, well, yeah, it usually happens when somebody dies. And then it just hit me. Mm-hmm. God's like, hello. And Jesus is like, yeah, I came and I died. Right. And I was like, oh, you did. I mean, not that I didn't know that, but like to put those two together was pretty crazy to me, like to think about that. And so, you know, he died for us. He came down to earth as God and died for us so that we could have a personal relationship with him and be adopted into his family and be able to have the inheritance. And the inheritance that I'm referring to is the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And again, not just for the future and for eternity, but the kingdom of heaven now. Mm-hmm. So our inheritance that we can experience now is the kingdom of heaven. And thankfully, just in case you were wondering and you don't know, Jesus did raise again. So, you know, he did die for us for all those things, but then he rose again. So yay.
And hey, isn't it awesome about that inheritance? The fact that there's enough to go around.
Oh, yes.
We don't have to fight about it.
So true. I didn't think about that.
I mean, you were talking about John the Baptist and the Pharisees and religious leaders and how, you know, they didn't like what he was saying. And it's like, because in their mind, the picture I was getting in my head is what we talked about a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. of the people sitting around in the lawyer's office fighting about what's theirs, you know, and I think that, you know, we have to. The Bible gives us a lot of information and tells us a lot of, about that time. But at the same time, you know, we're human and we like to, like, in our minds, think about what it was like and what was going on. And it's kind of like, you know, they very much wanted to know, this is ours. This mm-hmm. is ours. You know, you don't have the right to give this away. Mm-hmm. You don't have the right to promise this to people that shouldn't have it. And oh, by the way, it's ours, and we get to decide not only who gets it, but how they get it and what they have to do to have it.
Right.
You know, oh, here's the 87,000 law. That's a big number. But, you know, here's all the
Here's
all the things that you have to follow in order to be able to get it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't follow them, you don't get it, you know. And
they feel like they've earned it because they have done those things.
Sure.
At least they think that they did. But that I think that, you know, the entitlement comes from they think that they've earned it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that that was that whole eye-opening conversation that they were having with John, is that just because they're in the bloodline, just because you think you kept all your laws and everything, does not mean that you're exclusive, does not even mean that you are in the family of God, which is like, what?
Right.
You know, that was huge back then.
Yeah.
Okay. So like I was saying, so we get to enjoy this inheritance now. In fact, we are expected to access the kingdom of God now in order to further the kingdom. I know that some people maybe don't even think about this, which is why I think it's important to talk about it. I think other people who have been exposed to it are like, yeah, absolutely, you know? Mm-hmm. And but I think that it just, I want more people to understand that, I mean, there's so much more, so much more past salvation.
Right.
Like, the salvation is only the beginning. And it's just, it's my heart. I want everybody to experience it and to step into it, because this is what we really are supposed to be doing. It's not simply an inheritance that we get to enjoy, like money, and we can just spend it and do whatever with it. It's something that we get an opportunity to participate in, and that we actually are challenged to participate in, like, mm-hmm. we were supposed to be doing this. And so I will be interchanging the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. You know, they're the same, but I might say one or maybe the other. But John first talked about, John the Baptist, same guy, talked about the kingdom of heaven being at hand. In Matthew 3:1-2, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and said, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And then Matthew 4:17, Jesus is saying, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" I think that it's very interesting and appropriate that it says repent first. Mm. It's come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Repent. And it's not just, "Oh, I believe in you, Jesus." I mean, it is, but it's repent, turn from your ways, and then know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Mm-hmm. So the kingdom of God, it is bringing their salvation, but it's also giving them the opportunity that now, if you repent and you turn to Jesus, decide to follow him, that now here's the kingdom. It's
mm-hmm.
now. And that's the other thing, is that they're both saying, and this isn't the only times, I just picked out these two, that it talks about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is now. It's for now. It's not just for the future. It is for now. So knowing that we have this as our inheritance and that it is present, it's for now. Why do we need to access the kingdom of heaven? No, I'm not asking you that question to put you on the spot.
Okay, good. You're the one with the notes, so yeah.
This is to start stirring some thoughts. Why do we need to access the kingdom of heaven? Well, the number one thing is to further the kingdom by loving others.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. The goal is to make the kingdom fuller.
Yeah.
And this is, I would say, probably one of the main reasons to access the kingdom of heaven. Not accessing the kingdom of heaven is like having $1 million in the bank and sitting around your dinner table starving.
Mm.
We have so much.
Yeah.
So many riches of heaven,
mm-hmm.
available to us. And if we reach salvation, we just say, "Okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I believe in you." And we just kind of stop there. We're essentially doing that.
Right.
We have millions of dollars in the bank, but we're going to sit here and starve around our table because we're not accessing the things that we have available to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that seems really silly, right? I mean, it's an awfully silly thing to do. So let's just embrace this and know that we have the riches of heaven available to us and just start going for it. So Jesus did die so that we could have a connection with God and have access to his kingdom. We have the riches of heaven available to us, and yet many times we go through life on scraps. There are people who, you know, they're just suffering for Jesus. You know, just if I could just make it through this life and, you know, just get to heaven. That's my goal. My goal is just suffer through and get to heaven, you know, and that just makes me sad.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad because it's like, yeah, we do have hard times in life. Absolutely. But we have God and we have his kingdom available to us. You know, we are made to be more than conquerors. We're made to be victorious. You know, no matter what we face, we have so much available to us that if we're just, you know, just clawing, just, you know, trying to make it through.
And, well, I think it's easy for people to get lost in the humanity part, get lost in the, because I mean, look, there are people that suffer, and we're not trying to downplay that. But you know, but if you're putting yourself in a situation where you're choosing to suffer, that's the silly part. You know, I mean, yes, there are people that suffer because they're dealing with an ailment, or there's people that are suffering because they really are poor, and they don't have the riches of this world.
Right.
So, but they miss out on the rest because they're so occupied by what they don't have in the flesh.
Right. And I mean, when I say that, I'm thinking of certain people aren't necessarily.
No, I know exactly.
Literally suffering.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. It's just those people that have their little tagline, suffering for Jesus.
Right, right. And it's just because, you know, I live paycheck to paycheck. And so, you know, I just wish that people could just have a shift in their perspective, you know.
Because maybe you do live paycheck to paycheck, but.
Yeah.
Here's all the rest.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked a little bit about last time, you know, about what the real riches are.
Right.
I mean, Jesus tells us to store up our riches in heaven where it doesn't rot. It doesn't, you know, these are the eternal things, the things that last forever. Those are the things that are our true riches.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to get off on that tangent right now.
Yeah.
But so there is so much more, so much more. So what are some of the riches of heaven? I think the first thing is I think of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is there anything that you can think of? I'll read through a couple more and you can
anything that I can think of that are the riches of heaven?
Yeah.
I mean, just the Holy Spirit is part of the riches of heaven. I mean, the fact that we have him to comfort us and to be to help us, and yeah, I mean, just the works of God in this world. I mean, that is the riches of heaven. When we see people healed and we see people brought out of bad situations, and you know, that those types of things. I mean, that to me is that's the riches of the kingdom.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, I have that here. I have healing.
Yeah.
Physical, emotional, spiritual, mental.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the different kinds of healing. And the power, which Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
compassion. Opportunity to see others' needs. Deliverance. That's one of those setting free from the junk that can, you know, suppress you. Wisdom and provision. There's so many more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally everything that we need.
Yeah.
Is in the kingdom. And anything and everything that we need, even when we need provision, physical provision, even when we need, and it might not look like what we want.
Right.
But maybe it's better.
Right.
Maybe it's just different.
Right.
But it's there.
Right.
And he always comes through. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have testimony after testimony in our life of how we were like, had no idea, you know, and we were in those places sometimes where there was somebody from our church that came by just spontaneously and brought us groceries,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it is a humbling experience, but super grateful.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're in that place, then, you know, but he always, always, always supplies. So when I read through this list, and I don't know if I'm the only one, but I think that knowing that everything that we need is in Jesus, in, you know, the kingdom of heaven, we can kind of, it's all in there together. We can tend to look at it selfishly,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can tend to go, oh yeah, all I need is in Jesus, which is absolutely true. Absolutely. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that, that he is our all, he is our everything, but we can't stop there.
Right. Right. You say the selfish part. It's like that. Yeah. Everything we need is in Jesus. So we build this little wall around ourselves.
Right.
I don't have to worry about anybody or anything else
right.
because I have all I need right here.
Right.
Which you do have all you need, mm-hmm. but there's other things that we were told that we need to do.
Exactly. Exactly. So like I had mentioned earlier, that we need to access the kingdom of heaven to further the kingdom of heaven by loving others.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like we to come back to that.
Right.
So while, yes, we get to have the privilege of having everything and anything that we would ever need in the kingdom of heaven, but it's also there to make it fuller, you know, for other people, for us to access it, to do that. I mean, the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to remember that. But the really cool thing about the kingdom is that, like you were saying before, how there's enough for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I love kingdom mathematics.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is whenever we choose to love on somebody, whenever we choose to access the kingdom for those around us,
mm-hmm.
that there's not just enough for me and not just enough for that person, but whenever I open up my heart and convey whatever it is that they need from the kingdom to that person, it actually blesses me too.
Yeah.
And it multiplies.
Yeah.
And so the inheritance is, forget about it. It has nothing to do with like the material stuff that wastes away and is gone and causes strife and everything else. It's complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually multiplies, because if you've ever, you know, just encouraged somebody, I mean, just by some kind words or maybe praying with them or anything like that, minimally, mm-hmm. you get blessed,
mm-hmm.
just because it's just the way the kingdom works. It's just God loves using people to touch people, and then he blesses both of them.
Yeah.
You know, and so I love that. So that's a really cool part. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about the how. Right now we're talking about the why.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely to love others. So we want to love others by building relationship, getting to know them, being a support, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us for what's needed for that person. Basically, you know, you want to just get to know them. And sometimes you don't really have like a long-term time for that. You know, it might be something like somebody that you're meeting in a store or something like that, but it's still doable, you know? Mm-hmm. There are more long-term ones, like people you work with or neighbors, you know, that maybe you build up more of a relationship there. But, I mean, I built up lots of relationships when I wasn't working, and I would weekly go to Walmart and got to know many different people there.
All those Walmart people.
that was my ministry. My ministry right there.
Yeah.
It was Walmart.
It's a mission field, Walmart.
It is. Some people hate going there, and you know, sometimes it's a little crazy, but it holds a soft place in my heart. So if we let the Holy Spirit use us and minister to these other people around us in our circle of influence, whatever that looks like, if it's, you know, your neighbors or your friends or maybe other moms, you know, your kids meet together, or, whatever that circle of influence is, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need. He will give you the words to say. In fact, Luke 12:12, it says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." And that...
That's so funny. You know where I'm going? You don't.
No, go ahead.
You know, my friend David Burton, he would always talk about Luke 12:12.
Yeah.
When you're, no matter what the situation is you're going to be in, mm-hmm. just God's going to give you what you need. The Spirit's going to give you what you need.
Yeah, that's so true. There's many times that I've talked to people and I'm not great at memorizing. If I really, really put my mind to it, I can do it, but I'm just not great with memorizing. Wish I was better, but I'm not. And so I encourage people who feel like they're not, I mean, if they can memorize a chapter, my mom does that. I mean, she just will memorize a chapter. She'll put her mind to it and she does it. And I'm just like, that is amazing. But I have come to the conclusion that if I can be faithful in feeding myself the word, mm-hmm. and reading it and meditating on it and, you know, and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal things to me through it, as long as I'm faithful in reading it, and studying it, he will bring it back to me. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit will bring it back when it's time. And I have had it numerous times. In fact, sometimes there's even a reference and I'm like, whoa.
How did I remember that?
It's totally the Holy Spirit. I do not think that it is me at all.
Because... Like Zephaniah 1.
Read that one time in college. No. But yeah, I mean, he will bring you the words to say, not just the scripture, but the words to say. I think you've probably experienced this too, in times when, you know, you're just talking with somebody and you're sharing with them and trying to encourage them, and all of a sudden, like, something comes out and you just say this thing and you're like, wow, that was really good.
I should write that down. Right? That makes me sound smart.
And absolutely no credit to us.
Right.
Except for being a vessel to allow the Holy Spirit to work through.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, he will absolutely bring what you need to say and exactly what that person needs to hear. Mm-hmm. He's so gracious like that. And that includes all the riches of, you know, the kingdom of heaven too. I mean, if it's healing or whatever, mm-hmm. he will absolutely help you through that. So this is how others will see Jesus, because many times people won't just go to church. Yeah, it's sad to say that even if they do go to church, they might still not see Jesus.
That's true.
But hopefully it's getting better. I know our church is really growing and moving, and it's amazing right now. I'm super excited. And I know that there are many churches around us that are.
I think if you come to our church and don't see Jesus, you must have had your eyes closed.
Or just didn't come inside.
Right. Because there's about 14 people that are going to, like, stop you at the door. You're going to know that you're loved, let me tell you.
Exactly. Exactly. You're going to get hugged whether you want to or not.
That's right.
But, yeah. So this is how people will see Jesus. Whenever you choose to access the riches of heaven to just show them God's love, mm-hmm. you know, and whatever it is that's needed. This is how we can show the love of Jesus. And this is how we can, this is how those people will begin a relationship with Jesus and then making the kingdom even fuller.
Right.
And that's the goal, because we want as many people as we can to come with us.
Yep.
We don't want anybody to be lost. So we have talked about the why of why we need to access the kingdom of heaven. And next time we are going to talk about how we access the kingdom of heaven. They kind of overlap a little bit. I try not to get too much into it this time, but, you know, there's a little bit there.
Wait, so we have to wait till next time?
We have to wait till next time.
Oh,
yes.
Man. You're doing the cliffhanger thing.
Yes, yes. So hopefully you will be enticed enough to join us next time to hear about the how we can access the kingdom, and then when to access the kingdom. So, yeah, so hopefully you will be encouraged. Know that the kingdom of heaven is for now, and that we, as followers of Jesus, we have access. In fact, we are expected to access the kingdom, to further the kingdom, to draw other people to him, to be Jesus for them, to be the face of Jesus for them, and to show his love and his compassion and all those amazing things. And so, hey, you know, in between now and next time, let the Holy Spirit use you to draw other people to him. Until next time, continue believing in the one and only true God, and we'll see you then.